How's it going, guys? Good? Excellent. How were the games last night? Amazing? Wow. Did you win last night? You did? Way to go. I'll make sure I never mess with you. Okay, so anyway, you guys, Romans chapter 8, first of all, we're going to go to there. We're going to go to three places. So if you want to just kind of keep this in mind, Romans 8, I think we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you want to just kind of keep that in mind as we kind of cruise through, that'd be fantastic. Last night, some people even made a decision to give their lives to Jesus Christ for the first time, which is awesome. Give them a hand again for that. I know some people were even thinking, oh, maybe I should have stood up. You've even had talks with your counselors, and maybe even more people have decided, hey, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I think there's some of us that are still thinking about it. Hold it. What does this really mean? Do I want to take this step? That's important for you to think through it and to make the decision, hey, I really want to follow him or not. I would never want you to go make a frivolous decision and then 2 weeks from now after the camp high is gone, so to speak, you're like, well, I didn't really mean that anyway. And God would not want that either. And I know you don't want that. So to say, hey, I really want to follow him. So I'm thinking that a lot of us do want to follow him, right? And a lot of us would say, I'd follow him no matter what. And I want to trust him, and I want his life to be shown through. You know, even in the hardest time, I want to show what it looks like. So I think that's true for us. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more this morning. And we talked about one reason why bad things happen is because of sin. That's obvious. But it's not the only reason why bad things happen. It's not the only reason. There might be that you haven't done anything wrong at all. In fact, it might be because you're actually in the right. This is going to sound weird. It actually might be because you're following Jesus that hard things would happen. Again, Job was a guy who trusted God, and it was because he had such faithfulness to God that he kind of drew Satan's attention to say, hey, well, what about, you know, him? If you take it all away, he wouldn't follow you. And God's going, yeah, he would. But the only way to find that out for sure, the only way to prove to Satan that Job would follow God no matter what, is if the no matter what happened. You guys get that? In other words, if you said and if I said, I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what happens, how do I even know that's true unless something really bad happens and then I have a chance to show that that's true, right? So even that. So why do these things happen? What's even going to happen to us? What is God's even plan for us after we follow Jesus Christ, when we decide to follow him? Some of you guys last night, I'm following for the first time. I remember when I decided to follow Jesus, it was almost like the next day I was like, okay, now what? Like, what's next in this? And that God was going, hey, I have a plan for you. And Jesus had a plan for me too. And probably in the first century, these people would have known, the people that follow Jesus would have understood this, that this is the reason why we follow him. But it's this, guys, we follow Jesus, and God's plan is that we become more like Jesus. That's God's plan. If you want to write that down, you can. You can just say, hey, I follow Jesus in order to become like Jesus. That's what a disciple is supposed to be. When anybody in the first century who chose a rabbi, that's like Jesus, a leader to be a disciple of, every single one of them knew, they knew why they were following that rabbi, and it was to become like that rabbi. In fact, even in the first century, Jesus wasn't the only rabbi. There were other rabbis and other disciples of other people and stuff. Jesus was very unique because he was God. But there were other rabbis that people followed. And you could tell what a disciple of a certain rabbi was if you just watched their life for just a little while. This is how specific it was, you guys. Get this. If you saw how somebody tied their sandal, and they tied their sandal in a certain way, you could say, oh, you must be a disciple of Rabbi so-and-so. Well, how can you tell? Because he ties his shoes that same way. I mean, that's how much they wanted to be like their rabbi. Oh, the way that some people wash their hands. Oh, you're washing your hands this way, the outside first and the inside, and you're washing it this long. You must be a disciple of Rabbi so-and-so because that's how he washes his hands. That's how much they wanted. Oh, you're dressing this way? You're dressing just like your rabbi. Because they wanted to become exactly like the rabbi. That's what their purpose was. They would have all known that. We've kind of lost that maybe in our culture. Like, oh, I follow Jesus. Well, why? Because I want to go to heaven. You know, I will follow Jesus because why? Because it's the right thing to do. Because, you know, it's just what that's what our church tells us to do, whatever it is. When we should be thinking this way, I'm following Jesus in order to do what, you guys? To become like Jesus. I want to be like him. God is absolutely committed for that. Romans 8, 28 and 29 shows us that. How much God has a plan for all of us to become like his son. Look what it says in Romans 8, 28. It's a verse that I knew. Maybe some of you are familiar with this, but it says this. And we know that that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Just sit on that for a second. We know, it says, we know that for those who love God, in other words, you decided to give your life to Jesus Christ. You decided to go in relationship with him. All of us that are the followers of Jesus, we know that all of us love God. All things, everything that's happening in your life is working together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That God has called you as his child. He's called you as his follower. He's called you as somebody who loves him, and he loves you, and he has a purpose to use everything in your life, everything, for your what? For your good. That means he'll use good things, and he'll use that for your good. Can he even use bad things for your good? Because he uses everything. Everything that's happening in your life right now, God is so powerful and so wise and loves you so much, he will use it all for your good. It's not just going to be wasted. He's going to use it for your good. Now, when I just read that verse, it kind of, for me, it goes kind of against what we've been learning all week. Because I think, well, if he's going to use it for our good, that means I should be able to trust that God is going to work things out instead of trusting him no matter how things work out. Follow me? Okay, so it's going to come up for good. This is something good is going to come out of this. And so what we tend to do, what I tend to do is I tend to define what good means. Because you know what good means? That if I lose my job and God is going to use that and it's going to turn out for good, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get what? Another job. That if I'm sick and God's going to use that, but hold it, it's going to turn out good. It's going to end up being good. What's going to happen? I'm going to get well. So that's what I think of. I think about that stuff. Most of the time when I think of what turns out to be good, it's stuff that's going on around me. Everything is going to turn out to be okay around me. Everything's going to turn out to be okay. But we talked about this, and maybe you missed it, but I'm going to say it again. God is way less concerned about things that are outside of you. You know what he's concerned about? Things where? Inside of you. And that's the good he's talking about. When we stop at verse 28, we don't understand what the good is, or we start coming up with what I think, what I think is good. And if things don't turn out to be what I think is good, I think that God just made a mistake. He's lying. It didn't turn out to be good for me. And he says, will you just read the next verse? Because I'll tell you. God says, I'll tell you what's good. He says, because those whom he foreknew, that's all of you. He knew you before you were even born. That's how much he loves you and cares about you. He also predestined. Predestined means he predetermined this. God is super committed for this to happen. And nothing is going to stop him from making this happen. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. In other words, Jesus acts like Jesus, and the idea is that he would not be the only one who acts like Jesus. He'd have other so-called brothers and sisters that also act like him. God foreknew you and has a plan. A good plan to conform you into the image of who? Of Jesus. Conform means to mold you. to mold you into the image of Jesus. So when you put those two verses together, God is going to use everything that happens in your life for your good. What's the good? Everything becoming okay out here? Or something that changes in here? The good thing that happens is God is going to use every single thing in your life, easy things, the hard things, the good things, the bad things, to continue to mold you and shape you to become like Jesus. That's the commitment. Whoa. And it's not becoming like Jesus on the outside. It's an inside thing. It's not like, oh, good. Hey, you know what? Hey, I just started walking on water today. I'm becoming more like Jesus. And that didn't happen, by the way. Is that what it means? It's like doing things? Nope. Hey, you know what? It's really cool. I've got my good, I see that you have your Jesus beard coming in really good today, girl. No, it's not looking like Jesus on the outside. It's looking like Jesus on the inside. It's developing the same character as Jesus. Responding to things the way Jesus would respond. Being loving like Jesus is loving. Being obedient to the Father like Jesus was obedient to the Father and dependent upon the Father like Jesus was dependent upon the Father. By being patient and kind and gentle with people the same way that Jesus was patient and kind and gentle with people. Are you getting it? It's being that. Being truthful the way Jesus was truthful. It's becoming more and more like him. And he's going to keep doing things. God is going to keep using everything in your life to make you more and more like him on the inside so that the inside will then start showing on the outside. And that includes everything, you guys. Everything about Jesus, we want to be. Every way that Jesus responded, we want to respond. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I told you that was the second place we were going to go to. A few pages more toward the back of your Bible. Go ahead and find that. It's after Hebrews, then James, then 1 Peter chapter 2. By the way, 1 Peter is a letter about suffering. It's a letter about things happening bad around us and to us. And it's about how a Christian can be during suffering times. It's a great book. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Read that with me. Verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For to this you have been called. This is your purpose. This is what you've been called to. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you what? An example so that you might follow in his steps. Even the suffering of Jesus is an example for us to follow in his steps. The way that he responded to suffering, did Jesus suffer? Yes. The way he responded to suffering is the same way we are meant to respond to suffering too. That we look at him and how was he when he was suffering, and we now act the same way. We follow his example. I always looked at Jesus dying on the cross. First of all, he died on the cross. Well, why? Why did he die on the cross? Of course, to save us, to pay for our sin. We just talked about it all last night. He accomplished so much on the cross. I forget that there's one more thing that he was doing when he was dying on the cross. And it wasn't just to save us. It was to give us an example for us. So that if ever we're suffering, we look at Jesus and say, well, how did he handle it? Because the plan is for everything to be used to make me more like Jesus. And then he even says the example. He just says, this is what I mean, so that you might follow his steps. When Jesus was dying on the cross, it says he committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. What it means, what it talks about with deceit there, I'm pretty sure it's talking about this, that if Jesus just would have lied, he wouldn't have had to go to the cross. Remember, Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? If Jesus just would have said, no, that's not me, he would have been let loose. Do you know how many times when we're facing suffering, there is such a temptation maybe to lie to get out of it? You ever had that? I don't want to face this, so I'm just going to say whatever this person wants me to say, even though might not be true, because I don't want to face suffering. And Jesus didn't do that. That's the example. I'm still going to be truthful to myself. I'm going to be truthful to who I am. Jesus was never going to deny who he was. And in 1 Peter, people were starting to suffer because they were Christians. So all they had to do was to tell people that they weren't Christians anymore and they wouldn't suffer. That's all they had to do. And he says, don't do it. That's not what Jesus did. And you've been called to be like him. And he goes on and says this. Look what else he says. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, what did he do? He didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. When the people made him suffer, did he fight back? When these other people who were hating him, did he hate them back? When the people that were reviling him, did he say, oh yeah, you're calling me this? I'm going to call you that. He didn't. Do you know what he did do? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What? He says one thing he did do. He says all these things he didn't do. He didn't retaliate. He didn't threaten. Oh, you're threatening me? I'm going to threaten you. Yeah, well, you'll get yours. He didn't do any of that. But it says he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That's the example. I'm going to keep trusting God, the Father, who can stop this if he wants to. He can do whatever he wants. He can change whatever's going on. He's the one that's going to do whatever he wants to do out here. I just want to be like Jesus in here. And I want that to come out. Even in that, even in suffering. Guys, if you want to write down an incredible truth, here it is. Ready? Jesus did not suffer so that I wouldn't have to. I think some people think that. Jesus suffered on the cross so I will never have to suffer. Jesus suffered so I will never have to. That is not true. Jesus did not suffer so you wouldn't have to. And write this down. Jesus suffered so I would know how to. Jesus suffered so I would know how to. I would know how to face suffering too. And I would be able to face suffering the same way he did, in an incredible supernatural way, not natural at all. And how does this all come out? What will God do in order to make this life of Jesus be shown in our lives? Now turn to 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to end here. This is an incredible passage, you guys. Challenging, but so good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you go back to that Romans, it's a couple books out after that. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you guys getting there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. If you get the Galatians, it's too far. I'm going to start reading it, you guys, and if you get there, that'd be great. If you want to write this down too, you can just write it down. 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to start with verse 5 through 11. And so Paul is just talking to the Corinthians. He's saying, hey, this is what life has been all about for us. And he says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. In other words, he says, our life is about proclaiming Jesus. It's not about the attention to be on ourselves. It's not about proclaiming ourselves. It's about proclaiming Jesus. And ourselves, if anything, if you're going to see us in anything, we're just servants of Jesus. But it's all about letting people know about Jesus, he says. For God, in verse 6, he goes, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. Remember when God says, let there be light, way back in Genesis 1? That same God who's able to create light in dark places just by saying, let it be light. That's it. He's got that power. That same God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All of us inside, we were dark. We were in darkness. And God, who's so powerful, when we gave our life to Jesus, he lit it all up. He lit our lives up. He gave us the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is living inside of you. He's living in you. Conforming you to his own image so that your life will reflect his. All of this stuff, the way that we're character, everything that's in us, everything that we want to respond, we want to be like Jesus. And then he says this in verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. He uses this kind of example. He says, we have this treasure, Jesus Christ, in us. And the life of Jesus and us being changed to become more and more like Jesus, it's inside of us. And it's like we're a clay pot. And these clay pots were a whole lot like these old school piggy banks. You guys know, you ever seen one of these old piggy banks? And it's really weird because a piggy bank, these piggy banks were made out of like ceramic. They're made out of clay and they were just heated up, you know, and so then there's like this ceramic thing. And you had a slot on the top where you put all your money in, right? As you get money, you have change, whatever, you fill it up. And once it's full, if it's the old style piggy bank, there's no opening to get the money back out. Right? What do you have to do? You just went like this. What do you have to do in order to get the money out? You have to break the piggy bank. You have to break it open. You guys, we are all clay pots. We're all these old school piggy banks. We're all pinatas. And there's a treasure inside of us. A treasure inside of us that needs to be shown outside of us. How is that going to happen? And if we're a piggy bank, we're like, oh, I don't like being piggy. I don't want to be the piggy bank. I don't want to be the pinata. I want to be the treasure inside the pinata. That's not how it is. Jesus is the treasure inside that we need to be able to show outside. The only way that that's going to happen is if we are cracked open. Now, you're the piggy bank. How does that feel? It doesn't feel good. I'm broken open. God uses things in our lives to make us more like Jesus, and then he uses other things in our lives to break us open so that people around us, and we even ourselves, will see what's inside of us. That's why. And it has to be hard things that make that happen. Look what he keeps saying. Look what he says in verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. These bad things are happening. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. It's not all hopeless, but it's going to be tough. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken by God. We're struck down, but we're not completely destroyed. We all, our eternity is still secure. Our soul is still intact. And then he says, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. These bad things are happening to give other people a chance to see what's inside of you, and actually to give you a chance to see what's inside of you, so that the life of Jesus will be shown outside of you. And you think, well, why do bad things have to do that? Why is it that hard things that happen in life is what's going to bring out Jesus? And I'll tell you why. Do you know that about these things? It's in Galatians chapter 5. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You ever heard of this fruit of the Spirit? There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is a supernatural fruit. It's supernatural. It is something that doesn't come naturally to people. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All those things are inner characteristics, right? That can be shown at certain times. Get this, you guys. The only way I can show the love of Jesus Christ is when I'm facing somebody who is unlovable. The only time I can really show the love of Jesus is if the opportunity to show the supernatural love of Jesus is when somebody's really hard to love. Jesus himself said, even unbelievers love people who love them back. Isn't that true? So what's the difference between us? How is the life of Jesus going to be shown out of us if all we have around us is people who love us back? And you're like, hey, look, I'm loving people. And everybody's going to be going, well, big deal. They all love you back. That's what Satan was saying about Job. Oh, he loves me so much. Well, of course, because you let everything go good in his life. Of course he loves you. How about we take everything out of his life and let's see how he responds then? And when everything was taken out of Job's life, his clay pot got broken open. And what was inside? The love of God. That's the only time you could really see it, is if something fell apart. How in the world can we love our enemies like Jesus loved his enemies unless we have what? Unless you have an enemy. And so God gives you an enemy for you to love. Because he wants to use everything in your life to make you more and more like Jesus. Whoa. Joy. The next one. Anybody can be joyful if they're in a joyous occasion. If everything's a party in our lives, how impressive is it that we have joy? It's not impressive at all. Everybody, unbelievers have joy if everything around them is joyous. You know what's supernatural? You know what really comes out of you is when you are cracked open and everything around you is dark and gloomy and it looks hopeless and you still have joy? That's impressive. But you can only see that kind of joy when everything around you is dark. Peace. Is it a big deal if you're at peace because everything around you is peaceful? Oh, check out my peace. I've got a lot of peace. Big deal. Nothing bad is happening in your life. Of course you're at peace. But if there's a hurricane around you and everything is falling apart, everything is breaking apart around you, and you're still at peace, now that's something. The only way you truly see these characteristics of Jesus, really see characteristics of Jesus, the only way is if something bad is happening around you. And then you get to see what's really inside of you. Why is this happening, you guys? Why are some things happening in your life right now? It's because God loves you so much, he wants you to see what's really inside of you. And if you're saying, whoa, I am not any different than anybody else when these bad things happen, that should tell you something. Check your engine light. It just came on. What's going on? For you to go back to God and say, hold it, I want to become more like him. And then for you to be able to see what it looks like, is God giving you opportunities for that to look like, is to have these things happen in your life. Like Job, at the end of this whole thing, Job could have the whole time said, while everything was going good, if somebody would have came up to Job, and even for Job, to say, Job, would you be following God this way if you didn't have anything? And I think Job would have said yes. But how do you really know? How do you really know unless those bad things happen? God has given you those times to grow you, to make you more like Jesus, and to let Jesus' life shine through you. That's why it's happening, you guys. So let him keep making you like his son. I hope, man, I hope when things are going terrible around you and you have nobody around you that's lovable, nobody around you loves you back, that you love them. There is nothing around you that's joyous at all, and yet you still have joy because you know you're okay with God and he's okay with you. You have peace because everything around you is going crazy, but you still know who's in control. And so you're at peace. And you're patient. And it's not because everybody around you is being so patient with you. People around you are driving you crazy, and you're still patient. All those things. Guys, talk about that in your group, and maybe just ask yourselves, how is my life looking like Jesus? What's God showing in my life? What opportunities is he giving us? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for our time. I pray that as we go out into our so what time, even right now, that we'd have a good time of going, whoa, hold it. Maybe the reason why this stuff is happening is not because I've done anything wrong. It's because God is trying to make me right. It's because God is just trying to continue to give me ways to become more like his son Jesus. And God, I pray that we would really go, that is what I want to be. I want to be like Jesus. So God, give us those opportunities. I pray that when we're broken open, that people wouldn't see us. They would see the life of Jesus through us. I pray that when we suffer, that we wouldn't utter threats back at other people who are making us suffer, but we would act like your son Jesus instead and become more and more like you and your son, your purpose for us. And it's in the name of your son Jesus, who we are following and wanting to be more like. It's in his name we pray. Amen.